association of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is just a remarkable study in regard to our relationship with the Holy Spirit. I've been working on the Jesus Christ relationship with the Holy Spirit. We'll get into it a little bit Sunday. It's a remarkable relationship of God in God. Okay, let's prepare ourselves for opening up the scripture. And we're dealing with a very powerful thing that happens between Christians, and that's judging one another. So let's let the Spirit can open our eyes. You know, what we have to do is we have to come up with an understanding of the difference between judging someone and knowing what sin is, and that this person is in sin. Now, is that judging? Not in the sense that we're using it and do not judge one another. To be aware of what sin is. Love is aware. Scripture says love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. Now, it doesn't say that love judges it. It doesn't say that love doesn't even say that it does not rejoice in itself. We're not saying that when we're talking about not judging, that we're not, that we do not identify from sin, because we do identify that we can help restore them. From the Galatians 6, if you catch a brother in sin, restore such a one. So we're not talking about closing our eyes. We're talking about making a judgment that carries with it proclamations and persecutions and different things like that. All right, let's prepare ourselves in prayer. Let's pray. Father, what a privilege it is to just open up your text and to let your Spirit reveal things to us, Father, and especially in the most dynamic area of our life, and that is our interaction with one another. This Heavenly Father is where we so often first know if we're in the Spirit or not. This is where we reveal or manifest that we belong to Christ, is the inner relationship of believers. And for centuries of the church, Father, the religious alchemists have been trying to put together the right combination of so many things to make this work, when in actuality, all it needs is the transforming power of spiritual love. So, Father, we pray now that your Spirit will lead us and guide us in understanding of this, that we can see our relationship with one another in regard to sin. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we have dealt with, we're in the midst of dealing with some of the negatives in a relationship. We've dealt with how we're not to betray one another, turn against one another. And then we dealt with hating one another as direct contrast with love, competing with one another, very, very strong action, and we studied that, inconsiderate of one another, and how the law tramples, seeking glory from one another. And again, I just want to say, if we were to say, okay, what are some of the things we would expect that we would find in the Bible and what believers are not to do? Most of us probably would have a long list of sins. Don't lie, don't steal, don't cheat, don't do this, don't do... And we really... haven't come across too many that are what we would call this is an ordinary sin, and you know, hate one another, that we probably would have had in our list. But I wonder how many of in our list would have had betraying one another, competing with one another, seeking glory from one another, grumbling with one another or about one another, arguing with one another, injuring one another. These are not probably the things that most people would have had in their list. And now we come to the ninth one, and it is, do not judge one another. So this is, we've been on this, and I want to finish this up. And we have worked our way through this. We've talked about how judging one another is a dilemma of law. If you're going to deal with a law, you are going to judge. It is conclusive. Judgment determines and acts on a fixed rule. judgment acts in accordance with law as to what is right and wrong, and you're left when you do that with no alternative. And this is a part of a dilemma that a lot of Christians come in the difference between law and between grace or love and forgiveness, mercy, and they have a rough time. If you remove law, you don't have that dilemma. Does that make sense? I have a dilemma of what to do with somebody if I come upon them in sin, if I'm dealing with them in law. But if I remove law, then I don't have that dilemma. And so we spend some time in that regard. We noted a lot of the things that we're not to do, but we're just over and over we're not told anywhere to judge one another. Then last time we spent some time on passages that they like to go to justify. And we looked at 1 Corinthians 5:3, 5:12, 4:5, and spent some time in these passages that a lot of people like to use to justify judging. And here again, even going through those verses, let me just quickly add, it doesn't matter. Because as we know, the verses we could just blatantly go to, this is how you're saved, it's by faith in Christ. That doesn't matter if somebody wants to see that you have to do something else to be saved, even if it's just Lordship salvation or whatever it may be. So here again, you're not going to win arguments going to the Bible. This is my view, because they've got their verses and there's a veil over their eyes, and this is so important for us to realize. I find myself more and more explaining that to people about the veil. You're just not going to see faith for salvation one or salvation two as long as there's that veil. It is a fruitless battle. And somebody has to have the veil removed before they're going to see. Let's see. That took us to the passages that we're not to judge one another. Romans 14:13, Matthew 7:1-2, do not judge lest you be judged, for in the way that you judge you will be judged, and by your standard of measure it will be measured to you. Luke 6:36-37, be merciful just as your Father is merciful, and do not judge and you will not be judged, and do not condemn and you will not be condemned, pardon and you will be pardoned. So we almost have here the antonym of judging one another and condemning, and that is to forgive and to pardon. Let's see. Then we looked at following Jesus Christ. A lot of people who like to judge one another talk about following Jesus Christ. And they want to be pure like he's pure. But people, it just doesn't bear out that this is following Christ. John 3:17, for God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. And then we went through that passage. And then the Romans 14:4, who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls. And this is where we left off. So let's turn now, if you will, to James 2. Let's turn now to James 2. Let's look at something in James 2. Hello, ladies. We're just starting in James 2, and we're dealing with the negative, we are not to judge one another. All right? James 2, and let's look at verse 12 and 13. And here again, our point is not to labor these verses, but to make ourselves aware of them in our journey. And again, as I've said so many times, it's the veil that you're going to have over you as to how you're going to see what scriptures are saying that we are to do in our dealings with one another. James 2:12, so speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. Now that's a very powerful concept in regard to how we live with one another. We are to speak with one another and we are to act toward one another as though we're going to be judged by the law of liberty. Not so powerful, because we saw in Galatians, for an example, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it was for freedom that Jesus Christ has set us free. So here we saw that Jesus Christ is related to this freedom. He set us free. And then we go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, somewhere in there, that, and where the Spirit is, that's where the Holy Spirit is, there is liberty. So here we have the relationship of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, and this is how you and I live in this liberty and this realm. Point being is, we're not under the law. We're not under the law. The law is removed, and it's just so hard for Christians to give up the law. Okay, verse 13. For judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. A lot of Christians don't understand, because they just cannot get away with the fact we're supposed to judge and separate and slam dunk other Christians. And they come across, they have this great battle, and it's just, yes, Jesus Christ bore the sins, kind of. Yes, Jesus Christ paid the debt for believer sins, kind of, but not totally. We have to help him now in the church. We have to really make people suffer who sin. Can't really go to Scripture and justify that, but it just seems right. And where does that come from? That comes from the knowledge of the three of good and evil. I've got it all figured out. The eyes are opened. Please, we did this Sunday morning, and often I'll just say it and move right on quickly, but I want you to grasp the depth of that. This is so fundamental to the whole history of man. You go from the garden, Adam and Eve, our forefathers, all the way through history of man. This is fundamental. I think I can see and understand like God. I think I got good and evil figured out. And the point is, their eyes were not only not open, they were actually blind. They were in darkness. They were blind to it, because they thought they could figure it all out. And that's the way Christians are today. I got it all figured out. I know what's good, and I know what is evil. For judgment will be merciless to one who has shown mercy. Okay. Just another reason. Maybe we need to list all the reasons why we don't want to judge one another. We don't want to judge one another so that we'll not be judged. That was in Matthew 7. We don't want to judge one another so that we can fulfill the law of love and the law of Christ and the law of liberty, which is to reconcile or restore one another. But here's another one. It's one of those kind of deals that we've seen. You kind of get to pick how you want to have a relationship with God. How do you do that? Well, if you want to deal with other believers, one another, our study is about dealing with one another. Because again, people, here's where you and I live the Christian life. Christian life isn't lived in my doctrine. Christian life isn't lived in this isolated island. If we're all on an isolated island, we'd be pretty good. Not real good, but we'd be pretty good if we were the only ones on it. But we're not an island. We have to interact, and this is the new commandment, to love one another, and by this all angels and man will know that you belong to me. So here's our inner relationship with one another. Now, if you want to deal with one another on the basis of law, then fine, that's how God will deal with you. You get to choose. If you want to deal with one another on the basis of mercy, and on the basis of the law of liberty, and how God deals with, then that's how God will deal with you. We saw this very same principle of forgiveness. If you don't want to forgive, then your Father will not forgive you. What does that mean? If you want to deal with somebody in law and not forgive because they don't deserve it, then fine, that's the way I'll deal with you, because you don't deserve it either. My forgiveness is by grace. It's based on my Son's work on the cross. So if you don't want to, then that's the way I'll deal with you. Mercy is an interesting word. I'd like to spend a lot of time with that word. We have a misunderstanding of what mercy is. A lot of people like so many things, even love. It is not unconditional love. They like to talk about it, but you have to earn love, and you have to earn grace, and you have to earn these things. And the same thing is, people, you don't earn mercy. That's why it's called mercy. That's why it's called mercy. And one of the most blatant examples, I know I've probably overdone it now, but it was just shouts in Texas history a few months ago when we had the lady that was to be executed, and she apparently, and I just pray that it was real and true, she had converted to Jesus Christ, believed in Him as Savior, and indeed it had changed her life, and therefore the Pope of Rome and the guy that's in charge of the moral majority as a spokesman for Protestantism, they both got on the television, and they made this great plea to the governor of Texas, to show mercy to this lady because she had changed, and because she had accepted Christ, and because she had shown herself to have improved in these kinds of things. That's not mercy. You earn that. We'll find a word for that, but it's not mercy. Mercy is, she didn't change at all. She is just as much a scoundrel today as she was the day she did the murder. Show her mercy. Don't execute her. That's mercy. What's mercy at the cross? As God has shown us mercy, He showed us mercy at the cross. Did any of you earn or deserve mercy at the cross? No, I didn't. You didn't. He died for us, and boom. So, mercy is something not earned or deserved. And this is our first clue in dealing with one another. Let's look at James 3, 5. James chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Behold how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. There's a lot of humor in that verse. It's just a rich, fine verse, but we're going to go on. Verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members so that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. Why am I reading that? Because it's the tongue that judges and lashes out at others, that gossips, that slanders, that repeats, that judges. And it's likened unto fire because it can destroy. It can destroy a congregation. It can destroy a marriage. It can destroy people's lives. This is, love is just the opposite of that. Look at James chapter 4, verse 11. James 4, verse 11 and 12. Do not speak against one another, brethren. So what are we talking about? We're talking about believers. These are believers. Do not speak against one another. Another way of saying judge one another. Do not speak against one another. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There is only one lawgiver and one judge, the one who is able to deliver, save, and to destroy. But who are you who judge your neighbor? Okay, again, another passage that merits a few months of working into this deal. But again, why the whole conversation about law through here, people? Because if you live your life judging one another, then it's going to be on the basis of law. Now, I dealt talking for several hours with a friend not long ago in this whole concept of judging one another. But are we not judging if we just recognize someone as sin? No, that's not what the Bible means by judging. The Bible uses the word judging and using the law. I know it's going to be wrong and you need to pay for this and pronouncements and all of this. The spiritual life, the Holy Spirit, spiritual love, recognizes sin. Don't be misunderstood by not judging. It doesn't mean we walk around with a veil over our eyes. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. That's why in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, we come upon a brother in sin, restore such a one. Well, yes, to know that believer is in sin is an assessment that is a sin, and what you're doing is a sin. But that's not judgment in the sense that we're using it and that the Lord uses it and that the writers here are using it in its reference to law and our command, mandate in dealing with one another. Do not judge one another. Do not speak against or judge one another. Because this is all related to law. And I make an evaluation about your life and a condemnation about your life. And as verse 12 points out, there is only one who is authorized, qualified to do that, and that's the righteous one, that is Jesus Christ. Now what happens is that the self-righteous believer who lives by law and not by the new covenant, as we said in our communion study, thinks if he does not judge, Now, well, listen to this. It's very important. Now, this is one of another justifications for judging. I don't care what the Bible says. This is my justification for judging. That if I do not make a judgment, if I do not judge, if I do not condemn, if I do not separate, if I do not persecute that person, if I don't do those things, then what happens is it makes him guilty. That's what they think. It makes them guilty if they do not judge, if they do not persecute. And if they do those things, then they're pure. If they come across sin, and this is the way they think. They don't care. They'll work around Galatians 6:1. And that's why I said, people, you've got a verse, they've got a verse, you've got a verse, they've got a verse. If someone wants to live their life by law, you're not going to talk them out of it. They've got a veil over their head, over their eyes, and that's the way they're going to live. But what they say is, they come across sin, and it is their job to expose the sin, judge the sin, and persecute the believer. If they do not do that, then that makes them guilty. If they do it, it makes them pure. Now, nowhere is that supported in Scripture, but that's what they think. And that's their justification. They want to be pure. It makes them pure. But according to the new covenant, according to grace, according to things that we've been studying, and according to Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, just the opposite is really true. What we want to do is, if you're walking along in the Spirit-filled life by faith in the Holy Spirit, and you come across a believer in sin, what spiritual love does, spiritual love seeks to restore this believer, restore him to the spiritual life for him, restore him back into that. And I want to point this out now, so watch this. This is when you and I imitate Jesus Christ. Not when we come across sin and judge it and slam dunk it and persecute. Let's look at Jesus Christ. He came, and he came to die for sin so that the whole world could be reconciled to God the Father. You want to imitate him? You come across a believer in sin. You restore that believer to God. Therefore, you are imitating the work of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? I didn't ask if you agree, but you understand. Let's take a look. I want to imitate Jesus Christ. And what they say is, therefore, when I come across a believer sinning, I'm going to expose, judge, and persecute. And that's what I have to do to be pure before God. That's what Jesus would do. Okay, let's find out. I want to live my life as Christ lived. What did Christ do? He came across the whole world in sin, died for the world, that they might be restored. That gives us a clue. You want to imitate Jesus Christ? Then what you want to do is live your life, as per Galatians 6, 1 and 2 and many other passages, of restoring that person to God. Not judging, not exposing, not judging, not persecuting, but restoring. So it's just the opposite. If we truly want to follow Jesus Christ, let's look at Jesus Christ. Let's look at the cross. What is it about? Is it about judging people? No, it's about judging the world in the person of Christ. And that's how we're really going to follow him. For most believers judge one another motivated not by the Holy Spirit, people, not by Jesus Christ, not by spiritual love, but by the law. Every time a believer decides, I am going to judge another believer, it is on the basis of the law. I can figure it all out, and I am going to do this on the basis of the law. And they do it to vindicate themselves, as they would think, according to law. See, people, let me share something else with you. Spiritual love, when you deal with one another in spiritual love doesn't need all of this. Spiritual love doesn't need to vindicate itself. Doesn't need to exalt itself. Doesn't need to make itself pure. It is pure. That's why the believer who comes across in the Galatians 6:1 passage, believer comes across another believer in sin, spiritual love, oh, well, if I help them, if I lift their burden for them, I'll get contaminated. Spiritual love doesn't worry about that. Spiritual love doesn't even give that a concern. Spiritual love sees a need that needs to be fulfilled here and meets that need. What do I have to do that will restore this believer, if anything will? What can I do to restore them? So spiritual love doesn't need all of this stuff that these other believers do to make themselves pure. People, I want you to understand, you are pure because you're walking, if I want to use that word, I'm going to put it in quotes, you are pure when you're walking in the Spirit. I hope you understand that. It's not a matter of, oh, if I come across sin, then I've really got to make myself pure and not guilty and all of that. But you keep walking in the Spirit while you help another believer. And in that sense, you remain pure. It has nothing to do with all of this other stuff that they like to do. All you need to do is walk in the power of the Spirit. That's His job, not your job. It's His job. So you can rest. This is spiritual love. Spiritual love doesn't give concern to all of those things, as we're going to be seeing in our study on Wednesday evening. So we judge and they consider it their duty and all of these things, but it doesn't line up with what we have in Scripture. So now let's close this of our study. What do we do? If we're not going to judge, and as I said, believer, this is just it goes with being a member of the human race to judge another believer. It's just, I'm sorry. And especially if you're embedded in some list or some law, you're going to be very quicker to do it, very quick to judge. But we all will find ourselves at various times judging one another. It's just fundamental. So if we're not to judge a believer that we come across, then what are we going to do? Well, let's look one more time at Galatians 6:1. We haven't looked at it in this study, so let's look at it, Galatians 6:1. And why do these kind of verses keep coming up? Because people, Jesus Christ said, how you deal with one another is going to be the mark of whether you belong to me or not before the world. Now, maybe you do belong to him and the world will never know it. Don't misunderstand what I just said. But what I'm saying is, if the world is going to know that you belong to Christ, it's going to be if you love one another. John chapter 13, 34, 35. Okay. Brethren, so we're dealing with believers, Galatians 6:1. Even if a man is caught in any trespass. Now, you remember there are two ways we can take that. Either way is fine. One way you can take that, if he is caught, meaning you come upon him and catch him in the act of sin. But I had to be honest with the Greek here. It can mean that. And I think that's Paul still here. But I'll tell you another thing. It can mean even if a believer himself is caught up in a sin pattern. So you can take that, you catch him, or sin catches him. Do you understand the difference? Everybody understand the difference? You got two different ways you can take this being caught. One way you can be caught, here's a believer. So we're dealing with the word in Galatians 6:1. It says, even if a man is caught. I just want to make this simple. Okay, one, this means, one, he is caught by another believer. I mean, this isn't a matter of did you do it. This isn't a matter of let's get the truth, or let's get the facts, or let's get all of that. I saw you. You know, this is the hand in the cookie jar. You know, what cookies, Mom? We're so stupid, we don't even let go of the cookies to get our hand out of the cookie jar when we're kids. Well, I'm not doing anything. You know, we won't let go of those cookies. So, I mean, you know, they're right here. Plus, maybe one we've been eating while we've been getting more. What cookies? You're caught. This is not up for discussion. Okay, that's one way it means. Another way is that the believer himself is caught up in sin. So some sin pattern has caught this believer, and he's entrapped by it. And you know that. And so he himself is caught in it, and this is his deal, and it's going to be done over and over and over. So either way is applicable to what Paul is saying here in the spirit of their life, what's going to happen. So you take either way you want. But you come across this believer, and he's caught in any trespass. And boy, we had fun when we did Galatians on that. Do you really think it means any? It means some. But certainly not any. I mean, he can't mean any. Look at chapter 5, verse 19. Can it mean some of these? Any trespass, immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like this. Now, look at 6:1. Any trespass. Do you really think it means any? Well, this is something you have to deal with yourself. But let me just throw out to you, the Holy Spirit knows the difference between the words some, a few, certain ones, and the concept of any. So you deal with the Holy Spirit how you want to deal with the Holy Spirit. This says any. Any trespass. So, you catch them in any trespass, any of these things, immorality, sensuality, idolatry, drunkenness, all this stuff, or you know that believer caught up in it. And so you go to that believer for the purpose of what? Look what it says. Brethren, even if a believer, a man, this is a believer, is caught up in any trespass, you who are spiritual, what does that mean? You're walking in a spiritual life. Restore such a one. Okay, so we are to restore. We studied this in our study of the positive one another. We are to restore one another. Restore them, but you don't get to just restore them. You have to do it in a spirit of gentleness. You'll do that when you're in a spiritual life. Each one looking to himself, and related to that gentleness, each one looking to himself, lest you become tempted. Now, the way a lot of people take that is you're tempted to get involved in their sin pattern or their sin. No, that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, you'll be tempted to go to law and judge them harshly. So you may go to a restoration of them, but you're going to do it very harshly by law, and you're going to become very self-righteous in judging them. Well, I would never do that. You came across a believer involved in drunkenness, or you came across a believer involved in sorcery. I would never do that, and really start coming down on them. Well, this is very easy to get into that. Because why? Why is that easy? We didn't really go through this when we did Galatians. Why is that always a problem? Because people love, and that's what will be poured into you. Love does not rejoice in what? In unrighteousness. So while you're helping them, you're not rejoicing at all in what they're doing. So you may drop over to the flesh very easily and start taking out your non-rejoicing out on them and lose the filling of the Spirit and start judging them and condemning them and kicking them and calling them loser and calling them names and not do what is talked about here. So we are to restore. We are to encourage them. And when you do that, now think about it, getting back to what we did a while ago. When you do this, when you restore such a one, people, that's when you're imitating Jesus Christ. That's what his whole advent on earth was about, setting up restoring man to or with God, right? Isn't that what he said? For the whole basis of restoring, you want to imitate him? You restore the believer, and you're imitating what Christ is all about, because Christ came to restore man to God, not to judge man, not to condemn, but to restore man to God. Not to lash out at man, but to restore man, reconcile man to God. You're imitating. This is what love will do. God is love, people, and this is what love will do. So I want to finish this, but I'd like to go off on some other verses and spend some fun time with you. But I do want to finish this up tonight if we possibly can, so we have to move on. Now, there are a multitude of things listed that we're not to do in regard to one another, but what if one does those things to us. What does the Scripture say for us to do? Somebody does lie to us, does hurt us. Let's just go through our list of what we've been studying. Someone betrays us. Someone is inconsiderate. Someone tramples over us. Someone grumbles against us, injures us in some way. What are we supposed to do then? If a believer does all of these things to us, what does Scripture reveal that the Holy Spirit will guide us to do? Well, let's just start off with not judge them and not gossip and not scrap, but salvage. Now, one of the major problems in judging one another and all that has been involved in this stuff, and there are a lot more that we're not going to be able to get to, but I want you to understand this is a prerogative of God. This will help us fundamentally. This is God's position to judge his own servant. This is not our position to judge another person. This is a prerogative of God. But most believers think that we can do it. We do not know. I know you think you know the good and evil. I know you think you know. Then I will ask you a question. If you are so wise and you got it all figured out, how is it that David committed adultery many times, not just with Bathsheba, and God did not remove him from office of king? How could David murder and remain in office of king and still be a man after God's own heart? If you've got it all figured out, you explain all these things. You explain how God, who, if we take it that way, people, and you've got to listen to what I'm saying, but if you take it that way, God is the biggest lawbreaker. God is not upholding the law. I know what God ought to do. I'll tell God what he ought to do to these believers and these things throughout Scripture. Be careful with your acquired wisdom and how you've got good and evil all figured out with Eve and Adam in the garden. Because you don't. We don't. We don't have it figured out. Leave it up to him. Because this is one of the great areas of great problems. We do not know these things. These are an assumption we make from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So krino means to separate, distinguish from good, evil, make some choices, all these things. And man thinks that he can do it, people. It's so easy for man to think he can do that, but we can't. Okay, let's close up. Look back with me now at Romans 14:13, where we started all of this. Romans 14:13. And see if we can finish this up. Romans 14:13. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore. But rather determine this, not to be an obstacle or a stumbling block in our brother's way. Okay, let's see what all's going on. Not judge. Not judge so as to condemn, persecute, scrap, things that we've been studying according to law. Any more. Okay, what does he mean by any more? Okay, we did this while in the flesh. We did this when we lived under the law. But now that we're saved, now that we live in the spiritual life, no more. No more are we going to do this. Okay, but rather. Okay, if I'm not going to judge, let's see what he says here. But rather, instead of judging and hurting and all of this, but rather determine this. And people, this is what we will do in the spirit-filled life, in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know what this it says, determine this. Now, this word in the Greek is the same word used to judge. So let me read it to you with that in mind, because they determine this. Okay, let's just have fun with this. But look at your passage. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather judge this, not to be an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. So instead of judging them, make a judgment about yourself, is what we have going on here. It's really beautiful, the twist here. Instead of judging them, you're going to make a judgment about yourself. And that judgment about yourself is, you will not be an obstacle or a stumbling block to their restoration. You will not be an obstacle or a stumbling block to restoring them from sin. You see what it's saying here? So we have to determine this is the same word final, same word for judge. So instead of judging them, you've got to make a judgment about yourself. Don't judge them. Make a judgment about yourself. By the way, this also helps us in Galatians 6, 1, which we just read a few minutes ago, and each one of you look into yourself, lest you too be tempted. So what you want to do is I want to make a judgment about myself as you go in to help this believer, and that judgment in Romans 14 is not to be an obstacle or a stumbling block to them in their recovery. So instead of judging others, how about this? We judge ourselves. How can I restore this believer instead of judging him, scrapping him? It's quite a difference in the way most Christians approach when they find a believer in sin. What can we do? I've been asked everywhere I go, and in other places, even at the in the gym. What I think should happen to a president of the United States with all that's going on? My answer is always the same. It's very simple. My prayer is that someone will come to him, some Christian will come to him and tell him about the spiritual life by faith. Whatever else happens, I'll leave that to the world. I'll leave that to man. And when I add, I don't care, I don't mean I don't care, but I mean that's not in an area that is any of my business. What my prayer is that someone will come to him and give him the power of God the Holy Spirit. Show him that he has it already, but show him how to use that power. That's all I care about. He's a Christian, I'm a Christian. Now what the world does to him, the world's going to have to make up their own mind, and if they decide one thing, fine. If they decide another thing, fine. It's not my area. My area in the spiritual realm, I pray that someone will come to him in truth. I'm not his judge. I want him to walk in the power of the Spirit, wherever he is. So this becomes a great issue. So we ask, how can I restore? So instead of judging one another to persecute them, we judge ourselves to ensure that we are not in the way of restoring them. We're not judging them according to law, scrapping them, putting guilt. People, where does guilt come from? Guilt doesn't come from the Holy Spirit, and guilt doesn't come from God. Guilt comes from other Christians, other believers coming and slam dunking and telling you you're unworthy, you're no good, God, you're inadequate, and on and on and on. This is something that man puts on man by law. This is not something that comes from the power of God, the Holy Spirit. We know that. So this is something man is going to do to man. And this is something we want to avoid. I want to avoid all of this type of stuff so that I can restore them. But if they're carrying guilt and they're carrying shame that I put on them, first I put the weight of shame and guilt on them, and then I try to tell them to go walk in the power of the Spirit. People, I'm not worthy to walk in the power of the Spirit if you put guilt and shame and all that stuff on me. Why would I want to walk in the power of the Spirit? I'm not worthy of it. So stay away from all of this to make it so easy to restore them into grace. But rather judge this not to be a stumbling block. And what Paul is saying is here, not to be a stumbling block in them walking in the Spirit-filled life. Do all that we can to restore them. Okay, let's have some summary. One, do not judge one another, so that you yourself will not be judged by the same standard you use to judge others. Matthew 7, 1 and 2, Luke 6, 37. Do not judge one another, so that you yourself will not be judged by the same standard you use to judge others. Two, instead of judging, be merciful. That is, let God handle the offense. And he handled it at the cross. You help them to restore. People, your problem is not sin. That's God. Your issue is that other believer, a fellow member of the body of Christ. If your problem is the sin, now who is a judge? Judge sits up, we appoint a judge. Right and wrong is his deal. That's what a judge is about. He has to deal with the offense. This is what a courtroom and a judge is all about. People, that's not what you and I are appointed to be. our job is not to be concerned about the sin, the trespass. Our concern in Scripture is that other born-again believer who is in Christ. That is your concern. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can be concerned with the sin or the believer. This is up to God. Our concern, what can I do to help you be restored? I know it sounds like, well, they're getting away with something, and that bothers people. That bothers legalists and people who live by the law. Yeah, but they're going to get away. People, nobody's getting away with anything. If you think anybody's getting away with anything, go back to the cross. It's been paid for. But sin and trespass isn't our deal. Our deal is this believer, a fellow believer in Christ. So point two instead, be merciful. That is, let God handle the offense. You help them be restored. Luke 6:36. Mercy triumphs over judgment. James 2:13. And then you will get mercy in your life. Point three. Do not condemn so that you will not be condemned yourself. Do not condemn so that you will not be condemned yourself. Luke 6:37 again. Four, instead, pardon. Pardon so that you will be pardoned. Luke 6:37. The antonym is aphiemi, forgive, dismiss, remit, release. This whole, it's a rhetoric that I've been hearing all through the thing with our president. It's a lot of rhetoric. Well, the issue is not forgiveness, it's responsibility. People, let me ask you a question. Isn't that the issue in every sin and the issue of forgiveness? The other person's not doing their responsibility. How can you say, well, it's here and it's not here? So that's the issue in every time you and I forgive. That's what forgiveness is about. And we study forgiveness in forgiving one another. Five, instead of judging one another, follow Christ, who came not to judge, but to restore. John 3:17. Jesus Christ died to be our reconciliation. 1 John 3:16. This is why he came. You want to follow Christ, then you follow him. Six, what about the wrong? What about the sin? If I forgive, if I restore, he's getting away with something. And I just can't let him get away with something. Why not? Because you're living by law. Law, we just cannot let it go. That's what we studied when we studied the law. The law functions, is the law, and it functions by fixed rules. And I just can't let, the law just can't let him get away with it. People, no one is getting away with anything. First, Jesus Christ has already paid for it. In the second place, Jesus Christ will take care of it himself. You and I do not have to worry about somebody getting away with something. He will judge every man's life, whether they walked in faith or not, at the judgment seat of Christ. It's not your place. It's not my place. We're not here to be sure, keep everybody in line and be sure everybody gets their comeuppance. It's not our place. If that's the way you live your life, now, spiritual love doesn't even think that way. Spiritual love says whatever I can do to restore them. But it's not our place to get everybody their comeuppance. And then finally, seven, the antonym to crino or judge is dikaio. It means to regard as just. It means to regard as just. Now, watch what we're doing. To judge one another, crino, we judge one another. Judge them as not being right or pure. The antonym of this is to regard somebody as just or innocent. How can I do that when I know that they sinned? Okay. Let's take a look at this. This is beautiful. Forget them with the antonym of judging one another in Scripture. When a Christian sins, boom, top side in heaven, Satan's there, ready to point his finger. God, you can't use that believer. They committed this horrible sin. And you know, it's all over for him and all of this. Okay, Jesus Christ is our defense attorney, 1 John 1:1, 2:1. Now, Jesus Christ stands up as our defense attorney. His defense. His defense cannot be, well, we don't know all the facts, he's really innocent. Because angels know. Now, we can lie against each other. No, they did it, they did it, they did it. Maybe they did, maybe they don't. We've got to do a lot of legal procedure in our system to find out if somebody's really guilty or not. But in heaven court, in the heavenly court, it's so beautiful because the angels can look. Satan, you're lying. He didn't or she didn't. We can see. Yeah. So whenever Satan's up there, make sure that you understand he's not strapping on anything. He's not falsely accusing anybody. When he goes up and says, this believer did it, then, yeah, we all know. Boo! You hear all the fallen angels. Boo! You know? Yeah, they did it. Christ cannot stand up and say, well, we don't know the facts. So, what is his defense? His defense is very simple. I've already paid. I've already taken care of it. They are just. They are righteous in my sight. My people, you just entered into the whole spiritual warfare from the prehistoric battle to the current civilization we live in. And the great question that Satan raises is not how can a loving God cast man into a lake of fire. That is not the question. The question is, how can a righteous God save unrighteous man? And God said, I do it. No one else can do this. I can do it. It defies understanding. And he did it by his love. And that's why Satan hates this. And so Christ stands up and says, and Satan goes up and accuses any believer of sin, he says, pay for, they are righteous. They are just. And he just throws up his hands. You can just see him. Just totally frustrated by this. No, they're not. They sinned. I paid for it. Because you see what the law says is, now what? The law says, if you sin, you die. That's what the law pronounces, right? That's what the law says. If you sin, you die. And that's what Christians want to do. They want to kill other Christians who sin. Christ said, I've already died for them. The law has been fulfilled. The pronounced judgment, it's done. They're righteous. And he walked away aggravated. He doesn't know what to do about that. Just like a lot of Christians. They hate this. They can't handle this. Because this person has committed some horrible sin against them or someone they love or something. And they cannot handle what Jesus Christ has done on the cross already. So what is the opposite? What is the antonym of to judge one another? Da kao. And the word means to regard as just or innocent. And people, that's how we see each other in Christ. This is how we see one another in Christ as just. And this is the place, people, watch. This is how we see them. We see them just in Christ. We see them pure in Christ. And what do we want to do? We want to restore them experientially to what they are positionally. Does that make sense? We want to restore them in Christ. Let's get it on the board so we'll be sure we see it. In Christ, in our position, in Christ, we're righteous. Pure, if you want to use that word. So what do you and I want to do? Experientially, they sinned. So what do we want to do? We come along and we want to take this believer and help them to be experientially what they are positionally in Christ, what they are positionally in Christ, experientially in the Holy Spirit. When you're walking in the Spirit, you are what you are positionally in Christ. That's what we call sanctification. So what we want to do, we want to restore, and what are we doing? We want to get them experientially back in the Spirit, so they are experientially what they are in Christ. Experientially in Christ, they are, as our word says, regarded as just or innocent. This is what we are when we're walking in the power of the Spirit. So what we want to do is get them back into faith, get them back into walking by faith in the Holy Spirit, and they are experientially what they are in Christ. Okay? All right, that takes care of the ninth one. Now, next week, just to whet your appetite, and hopefully you'll come back, we're going to deal with a negative. I won't give you the negative right now, but I'll just tell you we're going to deal with the Holy Spirit and a sexual relationship between a husband and wife. And where does the Holy Spirit fit in that? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for giving to us the Scriptures, the Bible. But Father, if you had not given to us the teacher, the illuminator, the Holy Spirit, we would be no better off. In fact, we would probably be worse off, because we would not be able to understand it. Father, we're so grateful for the Spirit who opens our eyes that we might see and guides us in these things, Father. Teaches us these things. Father, we praise you in your Son's precious name for your grace, for your mercy, your compassion, and your love. We praise you in your Son's precious name. Amen.